Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Corinthians talks about taking every thought captive. You're able to take every thought captive if you have the Holy Spirit of God in your life. You will be different. So, that's not an excuse. We come to Christ poor of spirit. Realizing that causes us to mourn over our condition, over sin in the world, sin in our life. And that causes a meekness, a humility in our life. Not weakness, meekness.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
A true Christian, a true believer is led by the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that they'll always be perfect. It just means that they desire to do what's right. It means that they trust in God and want to walk in His ways. They hear His voice. They allow His grace to empower them to walk in obedience. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message today. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 1. With our continuing study entitled, What is a Christian?
Jesus' first messages were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, I knew God for a long time. My dad was a very hard man, And he was a drunk too. Not the funny drunk, the mean drunk. The dog got kicked. You know, okay, good. No laugh. You just learned, right? The dog got kicked. Sometimes the dog got kicked so hard, I did kind of laugh a little bit. It was a little funny. But it wasn't funny. Especially when he took it out on me. Or my sister. Especially if I had to do my multiplication tables with a drunk dad who wouldn't tolerate me being late, take too long, or get a wrong answer. God loves us so much. He doesn't want that to be part of our lives. And because I had a dad like that, it drove me to the Lord at a very young age. I couldn't go to dad. And so I would pray and I would spend time with my dog. We'd hang out and I would just talk to God and I'd cry. And very close to the Lord. But here's what happened. One day, I went to a church. It was a Calvary Chapel. My first experience with a Calvary Chapel was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I go in and I'm a little thrown back by the chairs and not the pews and the non-traditional style and then all the instruments and basically what we have here, but they're on a much larger scale. And I go in, I'm a little skeptical, but I listen to the Bible. I listen to the Word of God and I go, wow, that's truth. This is amazing. After the message, he gave an altar call. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, if you want to believe in Him and follow Him, commit your life to Him, He will receive you. He'll forgive you. You can walk with Him. And so, I'd never been faced with an altar call. I had loved Him. If you said, are you going to heaven? I'd say, yes, I am. I love Him. He loves me. I'm a good kid. And I was a good kid. I had, you know, I also did some things, but I was a good kid by the standards. And so I would have thought, yes, I am. I talk to Him. I feel Him talking to me. He comforts me. He's been there when I was a child. But until I got to this place where a decision had to be made, it was the first time I'd ever experienced this. I'm 21 or 2 years old. He said, you need to commit your life to Him. He needs to be your Lord. Oh, He'd been my friend forever. He'd been compassionate, reaching out to me, loving everything to me. Almost, not really, but in a small sense, a father to the fatherless. But on that day, you know what happened? All that God had done for me, all that He'd ever been there for, on that day, you'd think I could go, yes, sir, I'm going forward. I'm gonna follow you with all my heart. You know what I did? I sat there a long time, thought about it, and left without walking forward, without coming forward. Now, that was a rough week for me because it was the first time that I realized I'm not all in. He has been, and it wasn't like he was crushing me. Oh, you said no. Oh, that's it. It's hell for you. He didn't jump on me that way. But I knew I just rejected the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that week, it was like an agenda item. It was on my schedule. I'm going to church next week and I'm giving my life to the Lord. And so I went back the next week and a friend went with me. That's how the enemy works. Through friends, no. So my friend was there, and because of peer pressure, I couldn't go forward. So next time I brought more friends. No, I didn't do that. The same week, I said, it keeps me from going forward. Blame them. I'm going to hell because of my friends. No, I sat there for a long time. And this is how good God is. On that particular Sunday, there was a woman. I listen to her music now and I think, that spoke to me? That's not even my style, you know. And she sang, and everything she said, it was like in a church of, I don't know what their seating is, but it's a 15,000 member church. It was me and her and God. Everything she said, everything she sang was for me. It was directed to me. And I knew I needed to go forward, but my friend was here. Couldn't let him see me go forward. So I sat there until, now this is after service. It's an after service extension of the concert, so to speak. Just an extra few songs and altar call. Extended altar call. One more song. One more. All right. They had packed everything up. Everyone was pretty much out of the church. Me and my friend were still sitting there. And finally I said to him, I'll be there in just a minute. I'm going to go up and talk to somebody. So I sent him away from me. And after everything was boxed up, all their supplies, her CDs, everything, they're moving out now. I caught them just in time. That's how long it took me to sit there and go, I should go up. No, I don't want to. Yeah, I'm not. I went up and I shared, you know what? I just believed in Jesus Christ, followed him with all my heart. I didn't say I just met him. That's not true. But I just finally made the decision to follow him and let him be my Lord. And she was so happy. She was crying. She said, if they hadn't already boxed up all my CDs and took them, I'd give you a couple for free. You know, I missed out on that taking so long. But I did it. And I'll tell you something. I've experienced so many things from that point on, but I can point to that day and say that I haven't necessarily always been faithful, but from that day, God took it seriously. And God has been doing a work in me. In my bad days, he's a little more aggressive, a little more assertive, a little more convicting. In my good days, but he's always been there. He's even given me some room to make my mistakes. But here's what had to happen before things changed for me. I had to mourn over my brokenness, my sin. I had to spend that week realizing I just rejected the one I say I love. I just rejected him. For what? I had to evaluate my life. And I was broken. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, what was so wonderful of that is God never condemned me throughout that whole process. He was there for me. It takes repentance because you do not enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, I'm concerned today about the modern church's lack of preaching on repentance. That you can just do what you want to do and live the way you want to, and God's love covers all. It does cover all. But what you choose to do says a lot about you and what kingdom you belong to. So in that sense, it's not good. God's love is good, yes. But your heart is not. And I would be concerned over you, whether or not you really believe in Jesus Christ. See, in today's church culture, they send these emails out all the time, the way to grow your church. And on their 5-year plan to build your church, you will not find messages on repentance, sin, the blood of Christ. That doesn't fit into the five-year church growth plan. No, it's easier to just say, God loves you. No matter where you're at today, God loves you. And you be okay. We want you to feel comfortable. We don't talk about sin here. We don't talk about repentance here. We don't mention that. Receive Jesus and then come to church. Because that's the goal. If they teach on repentance, if they'll preach a hard message, you might not come back and the church won't grow if you don't come back. But where there's truth, you will find maturing Christians. Christians wrestling with tough issues. Christians who, when they give answers, it's the Word of God that begins to come forth from their heart and their speech. You know what's sad? Speaking of today's church culture, one, I guess, subgroup of the Presbyterian Church has recently voted to remove a popular hymn from their hymnals because of a line that said this: Jesus' death satisfied the wrath of God. They thought that was a little harsh, the wrath idea. So they wrote to the publisher and said, we love this song, but could we change it in our hymnal books to read, Jesus' death revealed the love of God? And they said, no, absolutely not. It says it the way it should say it. And so they... A very popular hymn. I think it's In Christ Alone or Christ Alone. I'm not a hymn guy. You can research it on your own. But they excluded it now from one of the Presbyterian hymnals. I don't know if it's the whole Presbyterian church or what, but that was a vote that they just took. Because people will not talk about conviction, sin, the wrath of God. It's going away. But guess what? If there's no repentance, there is no heaven. If there's no mourning over sin, there is no kingdom. I'm concerned. If there's no confronting sin, you can't be broken over your sin, can you? If you're always feeling good about yourself, you're going to be like I was before I was faced with that decision. God loves me. God's good. It's all great. And I was never confronted with the fact that I never let Him be Lord of my life. So, if you don't get past the mourning, we don't get to verse 5. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, meekness is not weakness. I think we identify meekness and weakness. It's not. They're two different words for a reason. Weakness is, I don't have the strength. I'm weak. Meekness is, I may, in fact, maybe I do have the strength, but I am going to suppress. I'm not going to exert my strength, and I'm going to be humble. See, that's what describes Jesus. But it's not a strength under control, your control, as much as it is a strength under God's control. You suppress for the glory of God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was meek, not weak. My son saw a picture of Jesus, and it was, you know, one of the scenes where he's carrying his cross. And at that point, at one point, it says that they had to have someone else carry his cross because his physical strength was gone. He'd been beaten so bad. So in his physical strength, he was weak. Well, anyway, Joshua sees Jesus. He's stumbling. He looks worn out, weak. And Joshua asked me, my son, he said, Dad, the Bible says that Jesus is like God. He's all powerful. He's real strong. How come he looks so weak there? And I said, you know, son, what you see there is not weakness. It's meekness. He's doing that and he's sticking with it despite the fact that his flesh can't even go on, despite the fact that he doesn't have to do it, despite the fact that he probably doesn't feel like it in his flesh doing it. We know that because in the garden prior to that, he said, Father, if there's any other way, but nonetheless, your will be done. You see, that's meekness, and that's what Jesus was. We, as Christians, are to be meek. Far from weak. Now, I don't know how much you know about horses. I don't know a whole lot. My experiences with them haven't been all that great. But When a horse is broken, it is a different animal. It's the same animal. In fact, it's just as strong as it ever was. But what's different about a broken horse is it will submit itself to the direction of its rider, of its owner. It's strong enough to buck the owner off, strong enough to not even let the owner approach or get on. It could do everything it used to do as a wild horse, but it's broken and yielded. That's the picture of meekness. As a Christian, you get broken. Broken over your sin. And then you become meek, submitted to God. Not that you can't tell that person you're not a coward. You know, the world, oh man, now he's praying to Jesus. Now he's going to church, you know, and they can bash you. And you, in your old nature, you can think, hallelujah. But you know that's not what God wants you to do. Now, you don't do that. I'm telling you now, you don't do that. You don't do that. But what happens is when you don't do that, what do they think? Weak. They think you're weak. Like the guy who won't stand up and fight for himself, right? The truth is, you're not weak. You know it. I know it. Any Christian who has been devoted to Christ knows it. When you stand there and you're taking things, when we watch people get martyred for their faith, when we talk about Nate Satan, Jim Elliott, who said, we're not going to carry a weapon, or we're going to carry a weapon only for safety, but not safety against those we're trying to minister to. Animals, yes, but the people, no. Those tribes, if they come after us and take our lives, we're going to heaven. They go to hell. We're not firing upon them. And they gave their lives as a result. They died. They were attacked by the very tribe they were ministering to. That's meekness. That's what God calls us to and enables us to. And we need to be meek so that we can be led easily by the Lord. Psalm 32, 8 and 9 say, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do you understand what the psalmist is saying? It's kind of like the horse. A horse, or let's say a donkey has to be told, beat. But when you have a dog or a horse that is well-trained, you can actually lead them with just a look, a simple nudge. They know. That's what he's saying. I will lead you with my eye. Where do you want us to go, Lord? He doesn't want him to jump on you. I want you to go here. I said go here. Okay, I think I get the message, Lord. He wants to go, hey, got it, Lord. Spending time with him. Meek. Now, I want to address something. Since we're talking about meekness, not weakness, does that mean that a meek person never gets angry? A Christian never gets angry? Oh no, we don't. In fact, there's a such thing as righteous anger. An anger over sin or corruption or unrighteous acts in the world. To see that someone rapes a helpless woman, or that somebody takes advantage of and rapes a child. We shouldn't go as Christians, well, Father, just forgive them and take my anger away about that person. I shouldn't feel any of these. No, that's anger. We should be angry. That's not right. We should be mad. Now, we don't take justice upon ourselves. That's for the Lord. But there is a righteous anger. Jesus expressed righteous anger. You know, I'd call flipping tables over and whipping the people out of the temple courts anger. It wasn't like in the love of God. I love you. He was angry. He said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer and you have turned it into a den of thieves. But let me draw a little line here for us, because here's our confusion with something like that. Jesus never lost his control. Jesus wasn't an outburst of emotion that he couldn't control and he was lashing out in anger. That's what we define anger as. That's what we look at that and we go, oh, Jesus did that. No, he didn't. We understand in the scriptures, in John chapter 2, that he made a whip of cords and then drove them all out of the temple. So as he's considering the situation, he's also on his way fashioning this Oh, they don't know what's in store for them today. I wish they would. And he went in and with the proper tone drove them out. He did it knowing. It was a righteous anger. There is a time to be angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Do not sin. So it's possible to be angry at things which anger or oppose God, righteous anger, without it leading to sin. Now, here's our problem. Our anger, most of our anger, not over righteousness, over selfishness. Our anger is a frustration that things aren't going the way we want them to. I want to watch this program. My kids keep bugging me. And I get angry. I want to do certain things. It's about me. When it doesn't go my way, I get angry. When things don't meet my expectations, I get frustrated. I get angry. That's not righteous anger. That's unrighteous anger. That's selfish anger. You're supposed to be dead, the scriptures say. So as a Christian, this is the type of anger we should be overcoming. Because you're dead. Your schedule is not your own. The, I want to do this, doesn't exist. You never know that when you're watching that program you're so into, and that child comes to you, that God's call upon your life to get you away from that thing, or to do something, is to actually turn and minister to this child and love them. Instead of watch this program. We get angry because of selfish reasons. Somebody say, well, you don't understand, I'm Irish. You know, I've got Irish in me too. And I've blamed it on the Irish. Some will say, I got red hair. That's kind of an Irish link also. But, you know, color, well, it doesn't matter. Background, my parents are. I'm Italian. That's another one, right? I'm Italian. Hey, guess what? That is the world right there speaking. I'm this, I'm that, this is my bloodline, this is my heritage. We're talking about those whose heritage now has been erased and they are members of the kingdom of heaven. You see, that is not the way your father responds, and that is not your heritage as you are a new man in Christ Jesus. All things are new. All things have passed away. So you are able to, Corinthians talks about taking every thought captive. You're able to take every thought captive if you have the Holy Spirit of God in your life. You will be different. So, that's not an excuse. We come to Christ poor of spirit. Realizing that causes us to mourn over our condition, over sin in the world, sin in our life. And that causes a meekness, a humility in our life. Not weakness. Meekness. And that leads us to the next phase. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There should be a hungering for righteousness. It's a supernatural transition that takes place in the heart of somebody who has finally really let go of this world and become part of the kingdom of heaven. Romans 8:29 says this, those who belong to Him are predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. You are predestined for that. So are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Christ? Do you belong to the kingdom of heaven? Is this taking place in your own heart? If it is, that's a good thing. And if not, today, you can recognize that you're actually poor in spirit and be filled. The kingdom of heaven can be yours today.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.